Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, good morning. And welcome to Against All Odds, How Successful People Overcome Adversity. My name is Howard Holly, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel. Kristen, we had a great guest last week, Rebecca DiLorenzo. We ran out of time with her, so let's talk about your driveway moments today and your summary of that interview.
So I think Rebecca was a great guest. I think it was really nice for the listeners to be able to hear how someone who came from really what are humble beginnings, you know, from a young mother who didn't go to college and to be where she is today and such a pillar in our community, I think was really helpful for people to hear that. It was helpful for me to hear that and to hear her tips, you know, trusting your gut, asking for help and finding a mentor. So who's our guest today?
Our guest today is Jim Inglis. Jim is the owner and founder of Inglis Retailing. But that's a business that he started not too long ago. We'll talk about that. I think he started in the middle of the recession. But Jim used to be with Home Depot, and he was with Home Depot when they had only 8 stores, and Home Depot now has 2,000 or more. Jim, you did a great job at Home Depot.
Yeah, we're on a rocket ship, and it was quite a ride.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on the show.
And, you're very welcome.
I know you have a home here in Palm Coast,
right,
and you still have a home up in Atlanta as well.
Right.
So tell us about that journey and that rocket ship that we were talking about that's called Home Depot.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I've spent my whole life in the home improvement business, mostly on the West Coast in California. And, the group that started Home Depot started it in 1980 was the first full year. It was actually started by a group of guys that came from California.
Oh, really?
And,
was that what your connection came from?
Yes, okay. That was my connection. And, the company, opened first with 4 stores in Atlanta and then 4 stores in Miami.
Hmm.
And, that's about the time I joined the company. Okay. And basically, before that, home centers were quite small. They were 3,000, 4,000 square feet. They had relatively high margins. And Home Depot was the first company to open what's called a big box home center.
Yep.
Twice as big as a normal home center, with prices in the 28% range instead of the 38% range. It created a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, when I was invited to join the company, I asked a number of people in my industry, should I do this? This is a startup company. What's going on? And, the answer I got was, you know, these guys are unorthodox. They're not playing by the rules. This thing will never work. And, so it was a real leap of faith, to jump on board with Depot. But, as we grew the company over the next, 10 years, we became the largest building material company in the world.
So, and completely reshaped both the home and business as well as the hardware business.
Yeah, it completely redefined how building materials are sold, and not just in the U.S., but, you know, now I work with home centers around the world, and the Home Depot success has been emulated by many different organizations and different companies all around the world. So it not only changed how people purchased home improvement products here, but really changed the whole industry.
Jim, you and I know that having a good idea, the right idea, and a new business model, and being a first mover, sometimes you can have all of that and still not be successful.
That's
so
true.
What would you attribute Home Depot's success to? How did they get that trajectory that they were able to achieve?
Yeah. Well, you know, there were three original founders of the company. Bernie Marcus, Arthur Blank, and Pat Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those gentlemen had a very unique talent. And I think that combination, created a very powerful organization. They also had, a very good relationship with a very strong investment banker named Ken Langone.
Mm-hmm.
And, the balance of the four people involved, I think, created the right environment to go forward. You know, it wasn't, you couldn't have projected ahead of time the success
I'm sure
that
none
the company
of the
would have.
No. Showed that type
I
of
mean,
growth.
we were trying to survive.
Right.
You know,
and how long was that? How long was that survival period?
I would say the survival period was probably, you know, the first 5 years. And after that, we had the momentum, and then we were unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. And what was your role at Home Depot?
I was executive vice president of merchandising. Okay. That meant that I was in charge of the buying organization. I was in charge of the marketing of the company. Mm-hmm. I was in charge of the logistics. And I was also on the board of directors of the company. And was there for about 13 years.
Right. Now, you were in the industry before. And was that with your own firm or was that working in companies in the West Coast?
No, I, you know, once I, when I got out of high school in 1961, I started working for a small home center, small, it was either a small home center or a big hardware store. I'm not sure how you'd describe it. I worked there for about 3 years before I met my wife, who was a cashier at the store. And it took me then 10 years to work my way through college while I worked at the store. And subsequently, I did get my BA and then an MBA. And at that point, went on to a larger home center chain on the West Coast. And then subsequently to a vice president position with a large lumber company on the West Coast. And then basically 10 years later, the opportunity came to join.
So you were in the industry almost 20 years.
I was in the industry 20 years before
going to Home Depot. That's interesting.
Right.
I hadn't, even though you and I had talked before, I hadn't made, hadn't made that connection.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, do you consider yourself to be successful? And if so, how do you measure it?
Right. Well, I would say I do consider myself successful. You know, I was very influenced by a book, Bob Buford's book, it's called Halftime. And what he suggests in his book is that you spend the first half of your life, trying to accumulate. And, as a result, you have to, appease other people. You have to go by their rules. You have to, dance to their tune, so to speak. And then what you need to do is look at the last half of your life and say, well, now you focus on significance and what is significant. And, how do you use your time, your talents, your money, to achieve significance? And to me, that means, well, first of all, being in a right relationship with God. Secondly, having a love relationship with your family. Third, having the esteem of your peers. And fourth, having the income to be comfortable, but also to be a blessing to other people. And to me, those are kind of the four pillars of significance. And if you can achieve that, I think you can be consider yourself successful.
Four pillars of significance. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds, and our guest is Jim Inglis. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
Howard Holly Presents Against All Odds is being brought to you in part by Touchpoint Alliance. Touchpoint Alliance, a global alliance for communication excellence, headquartered here in Palm Coast, provides end-to-end communication solutions that help colleges, universities, and associations acquire, retain, and grow their customer base. Visit us at www.touchpointalliance.org or for a free consultation, call us at 386-283-5906.
Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly. I'm here with Kristen Weitzel, my co-host, and we're here with Jim Inglis. And Jim was the executive vice president at Home Meat Depot. And just before the break, he really gave us some great words of wisdom around how to be significant. And we'll talk about that a bit more during our driveway moments. But Jim, as you know, this show is about Against All Odds,
right.
Overcoming adversity. And as you know, my premise is that our success isn't achieved by doing things that come easily, but by how we overcome the obstacles and adversities and challenges that we face in life, what we learn from that, and how we apply that as we continue to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that premise?
Absolutely.
So you said something that I'm going to start with in terms of adversity, and then I'd like you to build on that. But you talked about 10 years and mm-hmm. starting out and not going to college when you
right.
graduated from high school, and then later going. So that's got to be a very interesting period in your life, I would think.
It was a very intense period. I grew up in Compton, California, which is on the south side of L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Which is not the nicest part of L.A.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my folks were relatively poor. They had no property, no wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got out of school, it was incumbent on me to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so thankful that I had a job. And I worked very hard to just show my gratitude. And as a result, I really enjoyed my work at the hardware store, and in the process met my wife, and we got married 3 years later. And at that point said, you know what, we have got to think about our future, mm-hmm. and it would be good to invest in the education.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 10 years, I basically worked full-time and went to school full-time. It took 10 years to get my BA, then my MBA.
So you got both within that 10-year period.
Within the 10-year
okay.
period.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of that time, which would have been basically we got married in 63.
Mm-hmm.
I got my MBA in 73. By then, I had my BA. I had my MBA. I also had two little daughters. So it was a very intense time of life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking back on it, you can say, well, those were still the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't so bad. But they were intense.
Sure.
I will tell you, they were very intense.
As you continued in that 20 years before you went to Home Depot, because I'm going to kind of departmentalize those,
mm-hmm.
did you face additional adversities that you learned from that helped you in your success at Home Depot?
You know, the period between, you know, graduating from college and then working for Home Depot was really a time of great success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that, when you work for a company, if you don't do just what's expected, but give more,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
that things come your way, that mm-hmm. That you're appreciated and promotions come. So, really, the 20 years before Home Depot were, I mean, the 10 years before Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
I would consider to be successful years. You know, we had to move,
mm-hmm.
You know, from San Diego to Texas and then back to San Diego and you know, raise our family and what have you. But, no, they were good times.
Mm-hmm.
What I had to do when I came to Home Depot was learn that, you know, many of the rules that I had learned during those 10 years, many of the ways of operating were actually not the optimum way to run a retail business. And so, I had to relearn
mm-hmm.
How to approach the whole business, because the whole business principle at Depot was so completely different from what I had done the previous 10 years.
Yeah, one of the things I have found, Jim, is to be successful over time, not for a moment, but over time, really requires being a lifelong learner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I remember when I about 30 days into my Home Depot life, I went to one of the principals of the company and said, boy, I don't belong here. You guys are crazy. I don't know what you're doing. My Pat Farrow, who was one of the founders of the company, said, Jim, you think that what we're doing doesn't make sense, but how much profit, and we're not going to make a profit, but how much profit we make if our customers are standing in our competitor stores?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? You're right. Yeah. You know, we need to figure out how to accomplish that.
And that's one of the things that Home Depot did. The whole concept of customer service, customer excellence. I mean, it was totally different. It didn't exist within the, you know, home improvement or hardware industry at the time.
Yeah. The philosophy had to be, let's make sure we give the customer no reason to ever shop anywhere else for home improvement.
Right.
And that had to just be embedded into the culture of the company.
Mm-hmm. So you learned a lot, continued to grow, went from 8 stores to, I don't know how many, 2,000 or so by the time you left, probably.
Well, actually, we had about 500 when I left.
Okay, so 500 or so when you left. And then you went out on your own.
That's right. That's right.
So what brilliant spark caused that? What were you thinking?
Well, you know, fortunate that having spent 13 years with Home Depot, I was in a financial position, thank God for the stock of Home Depot, to do what I wanted to do. And
so this entrepreneurship was something that had been percolating.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the book says, you spend your first, you know, half of your life playing by other people's rules, and then in the second half of your life, you want to think about, how can you do what you really enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
How can you take your talents, your treasure, and focus them on something you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really started off in two directions. One direction was to begin working with home centers all around the world, Japan, South America, Europe, and helping them to emulate the success of Home Depot in their own countries, in their own environments. And shortly into that process, we got some of those retailers in the other parts of the world to invest in opening a new kind of store here in the U.S. and in Atlanta. And frankly, after about 2 years, you know, we closed those stores, and because they were not successful. So you talk about overcoming obstacles and hardships. That really, my biggest obstacle probably came after I left Home Depot. And we went through the process of building an organization and then having to close it down. And fortunately, those same investors that helped me do that are still my friends and still my customers. And we got through it together.
What did you learn from it, Joe?
Well, I think you learn through it that integrity is everything. And even in a crisis, you just have to do what's right and do what's right, you know, by the people you're involved in, by your customers, and be honest with your investors. And through it, I think if you maintain your integrity, even though you failed, you still have the respect of your peers, of your investors, of the people that are important to you.
How many years ago was it that company failed?
It would have been about 14 years ago.
So is that when you started English retailing?
Well, I started English retailing prior to that.
Okay.
And began doing the consulting work, and I was doing both. I was doing the consulting work, but also opening these retail stores at the same time. And many of the people I was working for as a consultant were also investors in the business.
And now you're continuing with English retailing,
yes,
and you're
correct,
providing services and consulting to big box stores and organizations all around the world.
Yeah, I have, you know, my current clients include a company called Hornbach, which is the third largest home center in Germany. We're in about 9 countries in Europe. I work with a company called Sodimac, which is the largest home center chain in South America. We're in 6 countries in South America. And I work with Komeri, which is the third largest home center chain in Japan. They have over 1,000 stores in Japan. And I work with the Bunnings Company, which is the largest home center chain in Australia.
Wow.
So it's a really a collection of really the top home center retailers on an international basis.
Well, Jim, you've got years of experience in this industry, and usually people move out and break industries. But when you stay in an industry, your subject matter expertise, your knowledge is of immense value. And so, you know, I'm very pleased that you're able to use it and continue your business and also help other people with their businesses. Right. But being on this show, you volunteered your time so that people can hear your story right. and walk away with something. So again, right. I appreciate you joining us today.
And it was my pleasure.
Pleasure's always mine, Jim. Yeah. Our guest, Jim Inglis, we are going to take a break. We will be right back with our Driveway Moments. You are listening to Against All Odds.
Greetings, this is Cindy DeLecky from Marketing To Go here to let you know that our office has moved. We are now located at Palm Coast Town Center behind FPC and near Epic Movie Theater at 145 City Place on the third floor. If you are looking for branding help, social media assistance, or marketing and public relations solutions for your company or nonprofit, give us a call at 566-3466 or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/marketingtogo. We look forward to creating a buzz about your business.
Let's face it, your customers are searching online. Are they finding you? Websites are drawing all the traffic. Your business needs to get better placement online and get noticed. At Marlin Consulting Solutions, located in Palm Coast, we use the latest SEO techniques to get you noticed online. I'm Jason Johnson, owner of Marlin Consulting Solutions. You can contact us at 386-957-9311 or find us online at marlincs.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel. And we just finished with Jim Inglis, the former executive vice president for Home Depot. And Kristen, I really thought, again, that it was a very interesting interview, and I really appreciated his comment about the four pillars of significance. Could you talk a little bit about your driveway moment from this interview?
I think that his four pillars were great, Howard, you know, God, family, your peers, and then the income piece and how it's about not just having enough income for you to be comfortable, but also enough income that you can bless other people. I think it's really interesting. And, you know, when I look at my life, thinking about how I'm kind of in the first half. So I am in that half where I'm trying to accumulate and please other people and follow their rules. But you have that second half to look forward to, where if you do things right in the first half, you'll be able to bless other people in the second half. I thought it was also really interesting to hear how someone so successful, it took so long for him to actually get his college degrees, you know, his bachelor's and then his MBA. Over those 10 years after originally not going to school. And there's a lot of people that are like that. I mean, we talked to Carol Eaton, who didn't go right to college out of high school. I didn't go right to college out of high school. And there's a lot of other people who've done the same thing. And just to see how someone like that who, you know, grew up in Compton and got a job and was working really hard and trying to please people and then got to this point where he really wanted to better himself and went back to school and put all that time and effort into it and had two daughters and just really embraced education and continuing to learn even though he didn't do it right away. I think another thing that was kind of echoed through all of our guests was the whole don't just do what's expected and that you have to give more. And I think the way he really had to work so hard to make things happen and make everything successful, and he really came out on top and is such a successful person and such a an inspiration to people that, you know, even though there's setbacks and even though things are hard, that this great success is out there for everyone. And like all of our other guests have said, you know, it looks different for everybody. Rebecca's success looks different than Jim's success, and it looks different than my success. But everyone, if you work hard and you're dedicated and you really have something to work towards, everyone can be successful. And if you miss Rebecca or any of our other guests, you can go to iTunes and download our podcast. Search in the podcast for Howard Holly Presents, and you can subscribe and you can listen to all of our past episodes. And visit us on our website, www.howardhollypresents.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and you can get to the podcast from there as well.
We wish you the best of luck in the upcoming week in overcoming your challenges both today and tomorrow. My name is Howard Holly, and you are?
Kristen Weitzel.
Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.